Hi, this is Josh Raymond, and I'm very glad to be able to welcome you to this special hour of The Inner Life. This hour is one of our favorite episodes from this past year. I really hope you enjoy it and that it helps you in your spiritual journey. As always, you can find this episode and all of our past podcasts at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. Thanks for listening, and from all of us here at The Inner Life and at Relevant Radio, we want to wish you a very blessed and merry Christmas. Hello and welcome to The Inner Life here on this Wednesday, August 10th, the Feast of St. Lawrence. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. And glad to have you here as we share this journey, this hour together of The Inner Life, as we try and grow in our faith. And we do that with the help of different priests here that spend an hour of their time with us as our spiritual directors. Now, for you, who is the most optimistic person that you know? The person who almost always expects the best in nearly any situation. And even when things don't go as planned, they still see the good. They still see that kind of silver lining. For me, hands down, the most optimistic person I know, it's my wife, Baylen. That's one of the things that initially attracted me to her. She was always smiling. She was always laughing, ready to have fun, make the best of any situation. And she still is the champion in our family of looking on the bright side of most situations. I mean, sure, she can get down or discouraged occasionally, but that really is quite momentary for her in the long run. For instance, she's always loved to find a bargain, find some great deal. So even when we were first married, we didn't have very much money as we were starting out, where somebody else might have been stressed and worried about how to pay bills along with buying birthday presents or Christmas presents. Well, Baylen, she saw it as a challenge, a bit of game, a contest. And it was a challenge or a contest that she was going to win. She would search on eBay or she'd go into different thrift stores for ideas for presents. And when she found some great item and was able to get it for hardly anything, well, she was ecstatic. And I remember especially one year, this might have been back around 2005 or 2006, our oldest two daughters, they were around maybe 7 and 5 years old at the time, and they'd really gotten into the Care Bears, something I knew they existed. I had never paid attention to Care Bears, but there was this kind of a revival of a few different cartoons that had been popular in the 80s when I was growing up. Well, so Baylen, she started to look at options for Care Bear toys for Christmas, little plastic action figures, not the big plush stuffed teddy bear kind of toys. And she found that the brand new toys that were being made now, they were quite expensive. Plus, they weren't made as well as those same toys that came out in the 80s. So Baylen, she starts hunting on eBay for all these different Care Bears. And not only did she get all of the different bears, the little toy bears, but she got this castle playset and a Care Bears car, along with all these other pieces that filled out this entire set. And if she had bought all of that, which I think some of it wasn't even being manufactured, you know, in the revival of the Care Bears. If she had bought all of those pieces brand new, it probably would have been several hundred dollars. But she got all of these classic toys, very pristine. She got them for hardly anything. And then she got to have fun with all the eBay auctions. And if you've done an auction, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you've never tried to bid on something you really want to get on eBay, well, you get caught up, especially in those last few minutes when the auction is ending. You might be stressing a little, but you're hoping, you're trying to outbid the other people online while still trying to keep that lowest price possible. And for Baylen, even the little disappointment of losing an auction, that was only momentary because it simply meant, well, she gets to play the game of another auction or find an even better deal tomorrow. And she's always had that kind of attitude toward almost anything in life. And that's also been really good for me, because where I might dwell on the negative aspects of something that comes along in life, Baylen, being my wife, well, she's just helped me to look beyond the negative and enjoy the little things that are still good in those moments. And then that leads to a grateful and a thankful attitude. And that, in turn, it allows me to simply enjoy life a little more every day. And when we have that same sort of optimism in our spiritual lives, when we know Christ, when we're part of the body of Christ, well, it's not just because you win an auction on eBay or because of some other maybe trivial matter. Because we're a part of the body of Christ, we have the best reason of all to be optimistic every single day of our lives, in all circumstances, to truly be able to see the good things that await us, even in the midst of difficulties. And that's what we want to talk about today here on The Inner Life, how when we are united with Christ, it allows us to be the ultimate optimists. And I'm very glad to welcome to the program today Father Bobby Blood, who is back with us once again as our spiritual director for the hour. Father Blood is a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, and he is the spiritual director at St. Edward's High School in Elgin, Illinois. Father Blood, welcome back to the program. You're getting ready for a high school year that's just about to begin.
It is. We're counting down the hours at this point. We got a few more days until school starts up, and no better way than to join you here on The Inner Life to get ready for school.
Well, do you think the students are going to be walking into the halls there of the high school with a bit of dread, or do you think they'll mainly be optimistic about the new year that's facing them?
I think we get 2 days of optimism, and then it's school. So we'll take advantage of those 2 days.
Yep, make the most of them. That's great. That's great. Well, so let's talk about optimism then, Father. You know, especially in light of our faith, this is something that is more than just wishful thinking. When you hear optimism, you know, what does that mean for you? As a Christian, as a priest, what should be the main kind of thought as we talk about being optimistic as followers of Christ?
The world is ultimately good. I think that's the phrase that really gets to the heart of the matter of what does it mean to be optimistic. I think sometimes when we use the terms like optimistic or pessimistic, we think it's a personality type. Some people are more optimistic, some people are more pessimistic. But I think as a Christian, we have to maintain that ultimately the world is good. And so usually where the rubber hits the road is when we experience something that doesn't seem good, when we experience something that's difficult, then do we have that sort of grounded truth or that grounded belief that God is working, that Christ is present, and that ultimately he wills our good. And so I think that sort of calls us out of those moments where you might feel that tendency to be more negative or to kind of fixate on the things that are more difficult.
Well, and we have a lot in our world that does seem very negative. You know, I mean, that's kind of the with media for hundreds of years now, you know, the if it bleeds, it leads kind of attitude. So most of the time, the news that we're getting, yeah, there's some good news stories that are shared out there. But most of the time, it's talking about, you know, here's the problem with the economy. Here's the problem with what's happening in healthcare, or, you know, the next disease you should be worried about, or the next shooting, you know, occurrence that we had, mass shooting. There's all these different things that we seem to see over and over and over. Is the world really good? So how do we look past all of that news and hold on to that anchor of our faith to really say, in spite of all of these things, I know this deeper truth that the world is really good?
I think you're right on. We're inundated with media that is so negative. And as a Christian optimist, what we're not saying is ignore or avoid the difficult things that are happening. I think maybe that's almost an immature, a childish way to try and seek optimism, to say, if I just close out all of the negativity and I just kind of ignore the pain and suffering around me, then I'll be happy. But instead, I think it's to zoom out and look at the bigger picture. In the midst of something that is horrendous, where is the Lord? I think that's an important question for us to ask in a daily way, but especially when we see the media and all of the difficulty and pain, where is the Lord? Is the Lord in the families that are gathering in the hardship? Is the Lord in the midst of those first responders? Where is he? Because he is present by the nature of his love and his promise of caring for us, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter how far it seems the world is drifting, the anchor is still here. And so we have to open up our eyes and ask the question, where is he and what's keeping me from him?
Well, yeah, what's keeping me from him? What do you think are the main things that keep us from him when we are in the, you know, I mean, if we're talking about being optimistic, I'm sure we're going to get into the theological virtue of hope here. Maybe we can talk about that in a moment. But there's also the other side of that, the area of despair. How do we avoid falling into despair? How do we find God in those moments?
I think the first sort of, I don't know, struggle or stumbling block we might have is just isolation. In the midst of the most difficult moments, we have a tendency to kind of look inward, and even in a pseudo-heroic sort of way, make the decision that I want to carry this on my own. I can handle this. I could be okay. And in that attempt for virtue, what we do is sort of put up walls from those people around us who want to meet us in that pain or difficulty. And so the first thing we want to note is, are we closing in on ourselves? Are we isolating? Because as Christians, we are not alone. We're called into the body of Christ. And so there are different individuals the Lord might have placed around us who can provide for our need in a way that we can't provide for ourselves. So do we isolate? Two, to slow down and take a moment and just ask the question, what am I grateful for? What are the things that the Lord has done in the midst of this that I need to kind of tip my cap to him because he's still provided? Because that brings us out of ourselves and out of a selfishness and instead invites us into the anchored idea that I'm going to be taken care of.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of I mean, it's schmaltzy, but I still watch it, I think, every year, the movie White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. And there's this one point where I think it's Rosemary Clooney. She is up. She can't sleep. They're at the ski lodge already. And Bing Crosby comes out and sings this great song that was written by Irving Berlin. When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And, you know, that. While it's a cute song, I think there's a really great lesson right there that if you fixate on the negative, then you're only going to see the negative. But if you start counting those blessings, it allows you to realize, you know what, in spite of these things that are happening around me, the negative, I really can see where God still has blessed me and all the good things that he's done for me. Even when I'm at my lowest or I feel really, really alone.
And we don't want to lie and say that that's immediately going to
Yeah, it's not some magic spell or silver bullet.
But there's something so virtuous about that resolve or that decision that I'm going to go beyond what's heaviest right now, and I'm going to enter into something beyond. And I think it's hard work, but it's worthy work. And If we train ourselves in the midst of good days, then when the bad days come, it's a little easier to remain grounded in that optimism that we've been talking about.
You know, you and I had talked right before going on the air here about today being the Feast of St. Lawrence. And this is someone who, even as he's actively being martyred, he manages to keep this sense of humor, not allowing the suffering to distract him from his ultimate hope. And I don't think we had any sort of, you know, I wasn't looking ahead on the calendar thinking this would be a great topic for the Feast of St. Lawrence. It just, you know, providentially happened that we're talking about it here. But he's such a great example of there's more that's awaiting us beyond this life. And so we can face the worst of circumstances with a bit of a smile, a bit of a laugh, with a bit of levity, knowing that, yeah, this is only one bit. This is only one stop kind of on the way to eternity if we're united with Christ.
And that's the early church, right? In early 200s, we're already right. having this wonderful example of, in the midst of suffering, to crack a joke, to make light of the suffering. And I think sometimes it's easier when we have such a tangible sort of pain, like Lawrence, to say, okay, I need to stretch and I need to be virtuous and optimistic here. But I think one thing maybe to consider is, in a lot of our experience of suffering or where we feel the tendency towards pessimism, it's almost a mental exercise at this point. In 2022, oftentimes we're watching suffering that's happening to someone else, and now that's starting to shake my hope or my optimism. And so to be able to reverence what we're experiencing, to reverence that there's something negative happening, and not to avoid it or you know, write it off, but to say, no, I'm not being turned on a fire, but I'm experiencing something real that's difficult. And then from that sort of honesty in the pain, then being able to move beyond that and to say, okay, but is this the worst thing that could happen?
Well, and even if it is, you know, the worst thing that could happen, at least from a physical standpoint here, you know, with St. Lawrence. And if you're unfamiliar, if you're listening and you're like, okay, what's the story with St. Lawrence? At the end of his life, he had, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but my memory on this, Father, is he had been by the Roman emperor told to bring all the riches of the church before the emperor, give them over, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And he ends up going around, says, give me a few days. He gathers the sick, the blind, the poor, lepers. He gathers all these people who are in need, and he brings them and says, these are the riches of the church. And because of not bringing actual precious items, money, that sort of thing, the emperor then kills him. But he wants to make it this long, drawn-out process. And so he ends up putting him over some coals to basically roast alive. And then St. Lawrence, in the midst of that, he says, all right, guys, I'm already cooked on this side. You can turn me over now to finish. But, you know, you're talking about there's that mental exercise. I think there's also, you know, God gives us a gift at the moment where we need it. You know, that it's not all just us. It's that God, he knows when we're going to face those difficult moments. And if we pray and say, give me courage, give me fortitude, give me the ability to face this difficulty with dignity, then God will grant that.
And oftentimes from that, something greater will come about than if we hadn't experienced that suffering. And imagine Lawrence, he's with a God in heaven. That's incredible. He's better off now than he was prior to being on that spigot. So we have this opportunity to look at our own sort of pain and say, okay, is the Lord going to bring me to some place better than where I was? And he always does. That's the message of Christ, right? From the cross to the resurrection. To realize without the cross, without that pain, without that sacrifice, there is no resurrection. There is no hope for the life to come. And so we don't want to pretend that God is not a part of these moments that are difficult. He yeah. is.
Well, and it's not only me. You know, where will God bring me to a better place than where I was before? But even the gospel reading today, where it says, you know, unless that grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just remains a grain of wheat. If it dies, then it becomes so much more. And that's the reading every year specifically chosen for the Feast of St. Lawrence, looking at the martyrdom. And so, yes, does Lawrence have his reward in heaven? Absolutely. But what are the ripple effects of what he went through that not only get him to a better place, but also allow for so many others to benefit from what he's gone through?
And it's true. And there's so many examples in our life where we see that, where someone made that yes, made that total gift of self. And then from that, countless souls are affected. I think of, I've been doing a lot of marriage preparation. I had a lot of weddings this summer. I've got quite a few next year. And talking to couples about, you know, what do we want life to look like? What does it look like with children? What are the sort of traditions we're going to have? What are some of the ways that we're going to discipline? And oftentimes they are a little intimidated because there's something you don't quite know yet about what life is going to be like with children. And yet there's a zeal or an excitement to make those sacrifices. And so we see from the yeses of parents, their children are fed and changed. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's where they meet Christ and fall in love with him, is from the sacrifice of those that came before him. And so to realize that, yeah, the yeses we offer do have those ripple effects, like St. Lawrence.
Our spiritual director here today on The Inner Life is Father Bobby Blood. And Father Blood is a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois. He's the spiritual director at St. Edward's High School in Elgin, Illinois. Today we're talking about how we can be true optimists because of our relationship with Christ. And how has that worked for you? How has been being united with Christ? How has that given you the ability to look at anything that's coming your way with that hope, that optimism? How do you remain optimistic when you are going through that difficult time? Is there maybe a prayer that you go to or a saint that you look at as an example, as we were just talking about St. Lawrence? But so many great examples out there in that cloud of witnesses that we have with the saints. Or maybe you're going through a really difficult time right now, and it's hard to have that hope, that optimistic outlook. And you'd like to talk with Father Blood, you're welcome to call in. 888-914-9149 is the line to call into the studio here. 888-914-9149. And our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, right after the break, let's get into the theological virtue of hope, which I think is just kind of the next natural step here in our conversation. We'll be right back again. You're welcome to call in and join the program, 888-914-9149, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings.
This hour sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
You got to accentuate the positive, evening. Mind it to negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
You got to. Yeah, I like Bing Crosby. There's only one voice like that, huh? I could listen to that. I could listen to Nat King Cole. Some of the duets between Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong, great stuff. Hi, welcome back to The Inner Life. Not here to talk about classic big band music, but to talk about optimism today. I'm Josh Raymond, and I'm joined by Father Bobby Blood. He is the spiritual director at St. Edward's High School in Elgin, Illinois. And today we're talking about how to have that optimistic outlook on life, how to have that true hope, because we are part of the body of Christ. We have that hope of what lies beyond just this life. And we're also inviting you to call in at 888-914-9149. What has helped you to remain hopeful and optimistic when you're going through a difficult time? We'd love to hear your story. Is there somebody that has helped you through that time, that has taught you how you can remain optimistic, how you can look at the good things that God is doing in spite of maybe some of the difficulties, the suffering? Or maybe you're going through that tough time right now, and it really is hard for you to have that optimistic, that hopeful outlook. You're welcome to call us, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, right before the break, I said it would be good to maybe talk about the theological virtue of hope. And, you know, optimism and hope, I don't think there's any way that we could not talk about one without the other here. It's one of the three virtues that we do call the theological virtues. So maybe as just kind of a starting point, what is a virtue, and why do we term these the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity?
Yeah, virtue is sort of this idea that it's a consistent good or consistent sort of way in by which we're drawn towards God, both in our reason and our action. We're sort of drawn towards him beyond like the opposite being vice, drawn towards a negative. But the theological virtues in particular are God-given. Right? They're not just something that I can't just fight my way to having hope. It's something that's provided and graced to us by God, and that doesn't mean that we're kind of, you know, left to just let him run. We're an active part of it. The theological virtue of hope is this idea that there is something great that we can hope for, we can look forward to in the midst of any given situation. So it's a little different than optimism in the sense of it's not just a perspective or a mind shift. It's the presence of grace that sets before us the object of something good, and in a particular way, the greatest good, God. And so when we look at life, do we have in the front of our mind, the front of our heart, that there's something beyond our experience that is going to provide relief or fulfillment or rest? We lean into God and we lean into the idea that he is going to provide, even if at the very moment we can't see exactly what he's doing. We don't lose the deep trust or that anchor that he is moving.
We have to be kind of like the Israelites out in the wilderness, just trusting that God's going to continue day after day to provide that manna. We don't have the next day's meal, but we have to trust that he's going to provide it for us. When you talk about, you know, it's not something with hope or faith or charity, with these theological virtues that we can, just by our own efforts, by our own strength, that we can grow in these virtues. They're really a gift from God. Does that mean it really comes down to, if I feel like I'm lacking in hope in my life, prayer is the number one place to start then?
I think so. I think coupled, as I'm kind of resounding gong with like interior honesty about where we are, where we find ourselves, and then bringing that to the Lord to be able to say, this is what I'm longing for. This is what I want. Especially if it's, I'm longing to be loved or known or seen, then to be able to verbalize that, to be able to say to the Lord, I'm not feeling it right now and I need you to show up. And then from that sort of dialogue, I think he deepens in us the trust that he is moving and is going to provide for those deepest desires.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church, in talking about hope and prayer, in paragraph 1820, it says, hope is expressed and nourished in prayer. And it goes on to say that prayer, the prayer Jesus taught us, the Our Father, is, and this is the quote, it's the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. Could you maybe talk a little bit about, maybe give us some more insight into the Our Father being that perfect summary of Christian hope, as the Catechism is saying?
I think the Our Father in a real way touches on so much of human experience. We look at each sort of stanza or each sort of line and realize that it puts us in right relationship with our Creator. We're able to name him Father. There's something super hopeful about that, to realize that I'm not forgotten, alone, isolated. Instead, I'm a child who's been chosen. But then also to name our desires. I need my daily bread, like you referenced the Israelites. I desire to be free from the sort of, I would say, almost illness of unforgiveness, right? We know what it feels like to hold on to resentment. So to ask the Lord to free us from that and give us the grace to forgive and to avoid temptation, to really realize that it's in relationship with the Father that we can have the hope that someone is willing our good. And then also to take the time and the space to say, here are the particular places where I feel like I'm furthest from the lightness and freedom that I desire as a son or daughter.
As we're talking about this too, you know, a lot of this is kind of broad strokes. You know, we want to be able to talk in kind of general ideas so it's applicable to as many people as possible. But how have you seen this personally in your own life where, you know, you see that hope lived out?
I think there are a lot of examples of individuals you meet throughout your life who seem to have that sort of natural hope or that natural optimism. But this summer, I had the opportunity to help out with a high adventure summer camp in Ohio. And so you got paintball and high ropes course, and you're doing a lot of fun activities. And in the evening, maybe more intense and specific opportunities for prayer. But what it was moving to me was that the missionaries who were serving this summer had such a deep integration of the Lord. There was no sort of separation between, you know, now is Jesus' time. Now is time where we have real conversations and talk about what we hope for in the future. It was all sort of mixed in. So in the midst of doing these like fun activities, they continue to call these middle school and high school students into reflection. Where is the Lord in this place? What do you desire for him? What are you afraid to talk about or go into when you go home? And it was life-giving for me as a priest because in a lot of opportunities as a priest, we're trying to bring someone to a place of faith or hope or joy. And I had the opportunity to witness college-age kids, maybe a little older, who have in a real way met Christ and allowed that to inform the way that they saw the world. And that sort of competes against the negativity we talked about at the beginning,
yeah.
the media that inundates us. It's so easy to notice all the bad that's happening. But to take a moment and say, no, the church is alive. Things are happening. Souls are falling deeply in love with Christ. And to know that and to hear that and to see that transforms maybe the way we see the world.
Well, and maybe we can come back to that age group, that demographic of teens and early 20s people, because of the narrative that we hear so commonly about how suicide rates are up, about how there is more depression than we've ever seen in that age range. But I do want to get to the phones. We've got a number of people who are calling in to talk with you, Father. And again, our phone number here, if you'd like to join the program, 888-914-9149. Today, talking with Father Bobby Blood. He is the spiritual director at St. Edward's High School in Elgin, Illinois. And we're talking about optimism, about that theological virtue of hope, and how we can have that in the midst of those difficulties, those trials that we go through, and how have you been able to live that out in your life? How have you seen that hope that is that gift from God? How has God grown that in you as you've prayed for that hope, asked for his help so that you can remain hopeful even when you're going through a difficult time? Or maybe you are going through that difficult time right now, and it really is hard for you to see, to have that hopeful outlook, and you'd like some advice, some insight, some encouragement, you're welcome to talk with Father Blood, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, we've got Adam who's calling in from West Bend, Wisconsin. Adam, glad to have you here on The Inner Life. Welcome.
Hello.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I'm going through a pretty low point, actually the lowest point in my life right now. I'm battling multiple addictions. I just recently celebrated 7 months of absolute sobriety. Also going through some legal matters and a pretty messy divorce. And as a result of all of these things, my wife is not talking to me. We have two young kids. And most of my friends aren't talking to me. I got a brother who isn't speaking to me, but there's still, I have a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be hopeful for. First, my sobriety is a blessing. Thereafter, there's new friends that I'm meeting in my 12-step programs. And, there is a lot, despite the negative things that are happening, there is still a lot of positive things that I have to be hopeful for and grateful for. I just wanted to shed light on that and, ask for your prayers.
Yeah, well, Adam, first a moment to celebrate those 7 months. I mean, that's no small feat, but also that's a lot at once. And I think that's okay to admit and reverence and to realize what a gift it is that the Lord has instilled in you, that virtue of hope, to say that there are still things to look forward to. There are still things to be grateful for. And the sense I get is, right, we fight sort of one battle at a time with the Lord and just continue to bring those things to the foot of the altar and say, okay, Lord, I've got one big battle I'm fighting here and I've got a few others and taking that time to meet the Lord and say, okay, what is it that he's asking me to do just today? So definitely we'll pray for you and pray in a particular way that he might give you the grace to just take one fight at a time.
Yeah, well, and that's, going back to that 12-step program, Adam, I'm sure you're familiar with that line too, one day at a time. And, that's such a, that's that by itself, Father, I think is so important that we have that opportunity to start over, even at those times where we get discouraged or we feel like we're the ones who dropped the ball. You know, we have the sacrament of reconciliation. We have a God who wants to forgive us, he's waiting with open arms to bring us back into full communion, into that state of grace with him. So that right there is so hopeful for all of us. Again, the phone number 888-914-9149, as we're talking about the virtue of hope, about being optimistic, and not a false hope, not a surface optimism. If you joined us a little late, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to the first part of the hour. Find the podcast after we're done with the broadcast today. As Father Blood was sharing some of those insights and just helping us to understand what it really means to have that optimism and that hope in our lives when we are connected with Christ, when we're part of the body of Christ. But maybe that is a struggle for you and you'd like some help in your spiritual journey today, 888-914-9149. Father, we've got Valerie who's calling in from Los Angeles. Hi, Valerie. You're on the air with Father Blood.
Hello. I'm a mental health advocate, but more so I call myself a beloved child of God. And I have bipolar disorder, and I have experienced mania and have psychosis. And I have two questions. The first one is, like, more logical. The second one's more creative. But the first one is when to speak to a spiritual direction and therapist, and I guess you could say especially with mania. And the second part question is, I want to trust God and feel loved more by God. And is there a deeper meaning to having, like, this bipolar disorder?
Hmm. Yeah, great questions. And I appreciate your vulnerability and honesty. And I think it's a great example for everyone listening, right, to realize that in the midst of these experiences of hope and despair, there's also that question of where are my mental struggles? What's the sort of things that the Lord is calling me to carry? And so I appreciate you bringing that question to the forefront. I would say err on the side of talking to somebody. Right. If you have the opportunity and the means to talk with a priest, to talk with a therapist in general, I think the more sharing of our heart in a safe and healthy way, the better. And especially if things are becoming more difficult, right? Don't be afraid to call your parish priest or even call your priest and ask if they have any connections as far as trying to find a solid therapist. So I would say err on the side of that sharing. I think that's holy and helpful. But your second question, is the Lord sort of doing something in the midst of bipolar and mania? That's a beautiful question. I know that the Lord is working. Not knowing you and your story, I can't call to mind exactly what the Lord is doing or moving in. But I think taking the time to ask that question of the Lord, to go on a walk and say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm going through right now. This is what I'm experiencing. Here are the beautiful moments, or here are the difficult moments. Lord, what is it that you're showing me? Where do you want to meet me in this place? Have you found any sort of clarity with the Lord in your own personal journey walking with bipolar disorder?
I'm trying to discern it, but also I'm finding a lot more clarity as the days goes by that I want to help decrease and end this, the stigma on mental illness, and to help those, especially who are suffering with, like, suicidal ideation, and because I've also had my own attempt, so I feel like that's something that I find God calling me to help others with. In like, for me, it's art, but yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, right? So you've found that art is the way in which you can process and find the Lord, and so. Maybe we make an offer for all those who might be struggling to find their place. Where is it that the Lord is calling us to meet him? So for you, you found art. That's a great place. For other people, it might be one-on-one meetings with a friend. For others, it might be cooking, right? So just to find those places where we can find relief and peace, and then from that, move forward.
Great. Valerie, thanks so much for calling in, and again, for just being honest with what you're dealing with in your life. And I know so many people, you know, thousands of people that are listening right now to this hour will keep you in their prayers, as well as Adam, who we spoke to just a moment ago. And maybe you have that problem of not sure how you can see that hope, that kind of light at the end of the tunnel, and you'd like to talk with Father Blood. We really do have that hope that we can cling to because we're united with Christ, but sometimes it might not be so easy, and you're welcome to call in 888-914-9149. Maybe you have been able to have that hope, that optimism in your life, even when you've been dealing with difficulties. And we'd love to hear your story. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forrester, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and thanks for being here for the hour and talking today with Father Bobby Blood. He is a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois. Today, talking about how we can have that optimistic outlook, that hope in our lives because of being united with Christ. And we'd love to hear how you've lived that out in your life, 888-914-9149. Or maybe it is a struggle for you to remain hopeful. Maybe that despair and that depression really seems to have its hooks in you. And you're looking for some advice, some help on your spiritual journey, you're welcome to call in and talk with Father Blood at 888-914-9149. Father, right before the break, we had talked about the summer camp that you saw with a bunch of different high schoolers, young people, and how that virtue of hope was lived out. But we have heard for a couple of years, especially in light of the pandemic, how there are escalating rates of depression among high school and college-aged students, how suicide rates have been climbing over the last 10 years, especially in that 15 to 24-year-old range, that demographic. And I have heard many times, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I've heard, yeah, this is on the rise and we've seen it never worse because of the pandemic, because there were all the stay-at-home orders, the schools weren't open for students to be able to go and be there in face-to-face academic settings. And that was kind of put forth as this maybe big reason for the uptick in people feeling hopeless. But I ended up looking it up on the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. It's actually the year before the pandemic ever hit. It was 2018 that we saw the spike in suicide rates here in our country. Thankfully, the number of deaths by suicide has continued to drop since 2018. But we're still at much higher rates than we were 10 years ago. You work at a high school. You work with young students. What do you think might be some of the underlying causes for why we're seeing so many young people that have this kind of hopeless outlook on life?
I think in general, the current generation is a difficult one in the sense of how much media use they have. I think that's something that we can kind of put up and say, oh, this is the problem. If they didn't have media, if they didn't have cell phones, everything would be better. And there's so many pros, right, to technology. And so instead of kind of villainizing the technology and saying, if we didn't have that, everything would be better. Instead, trying to ask the question, what's the solution? And I heard a statistic, I don't know where, but basically every young person needs about seven adults pouring into them, seven mentors throughout their formative years in order that they might feel seen and loved and cared for in a way that gives them a place to share, a place to find healing, a place of freedom. And I would say most young people would have a hard time naming one. Maybe a student has a parent, of their two parents that they feel like they can confide in. But many students feel like they have nobody. And that can feel incredibly hopeless, right? To say like, wow, they don't have a place where they can really be honest about their experience. And so what do we do about that? I think some of it's perspective. I think a lot of them do legitimately have someone in their life that they could trust and pour into, but they don't feel like they do. And so as adults, as mentors, as parents, as priests and friends, to take the time to name things that seem obvious, right? I care about your perspective. I don't know how many times I've said to a high school student, you have a seat at the table. I say that in regards to the church, right? You have a seat at the table. Your perspective matters. But I think in general, what's your experience of life? What do you hope for? What do you enjoy? What's a cross that you bear? And in those sort of real conversations about life, not only are you learning from them and them learning from you, you're also training them that this is a place where I can be honest about my experience. And so are there a lot of students struggling with mental health? Absolutely. Are there a lot of students who have figured out that their brothers and sisters in Christ are struggling and have gone above and beyond to care for them? Absolutely. There's nothing more powerful than to see a freshman in high school notice an upperclassman who's having a hard time and reaches out to them in the only way, you know, awkward sort of way a high school student could. But they notice a need and they stretch. So to affirm that. And again, I think a lot of it with young people is they can smell fake a mile away.
Yeah.
So trying to bridge that gap where I'm not reaching out to you because that's the right thing to do, but because I genuinely care for you and I care for where you find yourself right now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as you're saying this, it makes me think there's that old phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. And you're talking about those seven adult influences, you know, that will say positive things that will help that child as they're growing in those teen years, those formative years. You know, it's so easy, I think, if you are a parent, you look at your own children and you think, I need to put all my focus and all my attention here on my kids. But there's so many other kids that can use that relationship. And that's the other part of it there. You know, you talk about being able to smell fake a mile away. You have to just be willing to have a normal relationship and conversation with that child. You can't try and approach it from a standpoint of, I'm going to help you become a less depressed individual. And that's my whole goal. That's my outset. Because then you're not really doing it to develop a friendship, to develop that relationship. That relationship has to be first to establish and gain the trust beforehand. And you know, I guess that's also another thing. If you are the parent of a child who is dealing with that difficult moment in life and you don't have any success, they don't want to open up, they don't want to talk. You know, I mean, that's typical with a lot of teenagers. They don't want to talk with their parents about these feelings that they're having. Any advice for a parent on how they might be able to help their child maybe find that other person?
Mm-hmm. I would say even prior to finding another person, just to realize that we're not in a rush. I think sometimes, especially as parents, I've seen, you know, I see the struggle and I want to solve the problem. But sometimes a consistent sort of simplicity and gentleness is building up that trust again, even if we're not seeing the fruit yet. So I would say have faith. And realize that your efforts are not null and void, right? Even if we're not getting the intended results, to realize that something is happening in their soul. If you're in accord with the Lord, trying to show that sort of compassion. But also too, right? Could be extended family. It could be connecting with a teacher to be able to give a teacher a heads up. Hey, you know, my son's having a hard time right now.
Sure.
Can go a long way. You know, there was a student in the last few years who had a grandparent pass away. They never told me, they never told the teacher, but I could tell there's something wrong. And so I reached out to the family. Oh, that's what's going on. Okay. So the more transparency we can have between coaches and teachers and parents, the better, just because we're working together. And we all love that child in different ways and trying to find, okay, do we notice a shift? Do we notice a pain? Do we notice a happiness? And maybe they kind of work together to say, okay, what's going on right now that's different than last week?
down to our last few seconds here, Father, if I'm listening to this and I'm saying, well, I want to be able to grow in the virtue of hope, do you have a specific prayer that you would point to that is a good starting place for asking God that for that virtue of hope in your life?
It's very simple. To pray the name of Jesus is incredibly powerful. When you feel inundated with pessimism, to just pray the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It takes the pressure off and you realize I'm not alone in the midst of this. There is something greater and there is someone who's with me.
Wow, that's beautiful. Father, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for being here on The Inner Life with us as we do conclude the hour. Could I ask you to bless, offer a blessing for our listeners?
Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Father, we ask your blessing upon these, your children, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. Again, Father Bobby Blood, our spiritual director for the hour. And if you joined us late, go find the podcast. It'll be posted here shortly at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. You can find it there. And you can find all of the past shows of The Inner Life there, too. I have a lot of people who you contact me and say how helpful you find it to be able to go back and listen to some of those past episodes, the different topics that we discussed here. And so, again, you can find not only today's show, but all of our past shows that are archived there on the Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com. Tomorrow we're going to talk about obedience. Is that a tough one for you, to be obedient? I think it is for most of us. It'll be a good conversation. Hope you can join us tomorrow here on The Inner Life. Stay tuned. Mass starts right now on Relevant Radio.